Hi, and welcome again to another one of our little podcasts. Today we are looking at the third Sunday in Advent, which is a very important Sunday in Advent every year because it gets the rose-colored glasses, or I mean the rose-colored vestments, or as most people call it, the pink ones. There's a lot of dispute on that, and really, in some cultures, men wearing pink or something of that particular color is actually a strong color, whereas blue is more of a feminine color, and that's why, like Archbishop Fulton Sheen would say very often, that she is Our Lady in Blue. It's not necessarily a masculine color. And this is something that goes forward as we look at different things. I remember when I was a little kid, there were two spoons that my uncle brought back from his honeymoon and when he went to Walt Disney World. And one was a Daffy Duck spoon that was blue, and there was a red one that was Mickey Mouse. And I wanted the Mickey Mouse one, but unfortunately, my older sister was a little bit tougher and crazier than I was. So she got the Mickey Mouse spoon, and I got the Donald Duck spoon. So I got the blue one because that's what men are supposed to have. But it always bothered me because I wanted the red one, because the red one was cool. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just this guy on this podcast today. But anyhow, we're going to dive into the December 16, 2018, third Sunday of Advent readings, which begins with a first reading from Zephaniah. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart. O daughter Jerusalem, the Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst, the mighty Savior. He will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you, as one sings at festivals. The word of the Lord. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Give thanks to the Lord and acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim now how exalted is his name. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and holy one of Israel. The second reading is a reading from the book of Philippians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. Alleluia, alleluia. And the gospel is a gospel according to Luke. The crowds gathered and asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors come to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "What is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation and were asking in their hearts whether this John might be the Christ. John answered them all and said, "I am baptizing you with water, but one that is mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. And the second reading is a reading from a sermon by St. Augustine, a bishop. John is the voice, but the Lord is the Word who was in the beginning. John is the voice that lasts for a time. From the beginning, Christ is the Word who lives forever. Take away the word, the meaning, and what is the voice? Where there is no understanding, there is only a meaningless sound. The voice without the word strikes the ear but does not build up the heart. However, let us observe that what happens when we first seek to build up our hearts. When I think about what it is I am going to say, the word or message is already in my heart. When I want to speak to you, I look for a way to share with your heart what is already in mine. In my search for a way to let this message reach you, so that the word already in my heart may find place also in yours, I use my voice to speak to you. The sound of my voice brings the meaning of the word to you and then passes away. The word which the sound has brought to you is now in your heart, and yet is still also in mine. When the word has been conveyed to you, does not the sound seem to say the word ought to grow and I should diminish? The sound of the voice has made itself heard in the service of the word and has gone away, as though it were saying, my joy is complete. Let us hold on to the word. We must not lose the word conceived inwardly in our hearts. Do you need proof that the voice passes away, but that the divine word remains? Where is John's baptism today? It served its purpose and it went away. Now it is Christ's baptism that we celebrate. It is in Christ that we are all to believe. We hope for salvation in him. This is the message the voice cried out. It is hard to distinguish the word from the voice. Even John himself was thought to be the Christ. The voice thought to be the word, but the voice acknowledged that it was, anxious not to give offense to the word. I am not the Christ, he said, nor Elijah the prophet. And when the question came, then who are you then? He replied, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The voice of the one crying in the wilderness is the voice of one breaking the silence. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says, as though he were saying, I speak out in order to lead him into your heart. But he does not choose to come where I lead him unless you prepare the way for him. To prepare the way means to pray well. It means thinking humbly of oneself. We should take our lesson from John the Baptist. He is thought to be the Christ. He declares he is not what they think. He does not take advantage of their mistake to further his own glory. If he said, I am the Christ, you can imagine how readily he would have been believed, since they believed he was the Christ even before he spoke. But he did not say it. He acknowledged what he was. He pointed out clearly who he was. He humbled himself. He saw where his salvation lay. He understood that he was a lamp, and that his fear was that it might be blown out by the wind of pride. Oh, so much to unwrap here in this particular readings here today. We're still focused on John the Baptist's ministry in the desert, preparing for that middle way. It has a benefit for preparing us for Christmas because we see Christ in the manger as an embodiment of this word made flesh and dwelt among us. And we see John's place in preparing us for this middle way, but also through the middle way preparing us for the end. When we kind of look at the scriptures that are out here, we see what he's teaching, especially from the gospel. It talks about how he tells them that if you have two cloaks, you should share your clothing with others who don't have any. That way, both of you have a coat. Not always the sense that everybody has a coat, because there are some that are without coats. But it does show that if you have an abundance, you should be willing to provide it to others, because that's a way in which you show Jesus. He also talks to the tax collectors, stop taking more than what is prescribed. The rule for the tax collectors can apply to anybody in business. Don't take more than what truly is necessary for a person to receive the product. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't receive more in the sense of collecting what helps them survive because they're doing a service, but it doesn't mean that you basically burden people with a tax debt that they can't pay. And that's kind of in there. And then when he's talking to the soldiers, he tells them not to practice extortion or accuse anyone falsely. Now, this might sound kind of strange when you think about it, but in ancient times, really before, I believe, the mid-1800s, there was no such thing as a police force or marshals that rode the Wild West. In ancient times, there was a military force. The British soldiers in colonial days quartered themselves in the house of the colonists because they were the police force in that day. They would basically maintain law and order. They did it by being a police force. And that's why our police force even today kind of resembles a military, because of that connection. We kind of lose that thought when we go forward, but that's kind of there. And then we hear that after he gives all these instructions, people start getting filled with expectations. They're starting to look for Christ to come. And they wonder whether John might be this Christ. And he points out to him, hey, I'm not this Christ. I'm not the one that you're supposed to be looking for, because he's coming after me. And this ties into what St. Augustine's talking about. He's just a voice. He's just someone who speaks something. He speaks words that you hear. By hearing it and taking them in, you really perceive what it is that's going on and you can receive it. But the voice doesn't have to keep speaking for you to hear and believe something. Think about how it was in school. You go to school, you learn some things like that 1 + 1 = 2. And down the road, 10 years later, you don't have to think about what 1 + 1 = because that instantaneously comes to your mind. I don't even have to speak the answer. You know what 2 + 2 is, because it equals the same thing at every time. You know it from counting. You know those kind of things. Looking at other things that we learn. We know what nouns, verbs, pronouns are. Just by merely saying what a noun is, you know that a noun is a person, place, or thing. A voice. The word. That one without the other is nothing. And this is what Augustine's talking about. That if you are just a voice, you have nothing but the word to speak. It's not you that you speak, it's the word. And we should all be like John the Baptist in this. This is how we all prepare ourselves as a receptacle for God, is by realizing that we're not receiving ourselves, we're receiving him who is the word. And this is the important part of where this all comes together. But in recognizing that John is just a word, prepares us. It prepares us to be able to have the same humility, the same like-mindedness that John had, where it's not about us. It's not about us getting glory. It's about him. And that prepares us to really understanding how it is that we rejoice in this day and age. We rejoice because the Lord is near. We don't get anxious about what it is because we're praying people. By all prayer and petition and thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. And we have a peace of God that is beyond comprehension. A peace that guards us and keeps us in Christ because we have prepared to receive him. And this is what it's all about. This is where we really get into the big thing of what it is. We are glad and exult with all of our heart because we know that God has removed the judgment against us. He has turned away our enemies. He's given us victory. And we aren't discouraged because the Lord our God is in our midst. The third way is really being focused on this particular Sunday. It's reminding us that even though we're coming close to Advent's end and Christmas's beginning, that really what we're getting close to is the Lord who's always near. He's near us in the sound of a voice. But he's not the voice. He's the word spoken by the voice. He's the meaning that's transmitted from one to the other. And we can think about this in really understanding the place that saints and other believers have in our lives. They themselves are merely voices speaking to us the word that is God, the incarnate divine Jesus Christ. And the only reason that a prayer to save St. Francis of Assisi or to St. Anthony to find lost items or to St. Jude or any other saint has any benefit is because they too are voices where they're speaking not of themselves, but revealing to us Christ in their prayers. And that's kind of where we get into this whole idea of God being in our midst, our mighty Savior. And that's why we rejoice with great gladness and why we live a certain way. And this is the fountain of salvation that we draw out from within us. Because God has acclaimed his name. And among all the nations, among all the people, everybody knows his deeds, his glorious achievements. Everything about him is spreading throughout the world. Because the voice resounds. The voice just gives out the message. You hear me speaking in this podcast. The words that I spoke many days ago, because at the time that I am taping this message, it is not Sunday, December 16th. It's actually earlier in the week. I'm actually speaking this right now at 6:06 on December 11th. So 5 days ago is when I actually recorded this particular message. My voice speaks now, and you hear the words. The words are what is eternal in the sense of the Word being made flesh and the Word being God, because the Word always goes forth. I don't have to keep speaking this every day in the next 5 days for you to finally hear it. But I say it, it gets recorded, and then it continues. You listen to this podcast. You listen to it once. You hear me speaking the words, but what you're really hearing is the word of the Lord being spoken to you. Oh, if we really got that understanding when we went to church and heard a preacher talk about Jesus and really got into the word that way, oh, how would that change our experience of Mass or any liturgical service, even Protestant liturgical services? When we really understand that what's being communicated is Christ in each one of those moments, that the priest in the person of Christ is proclaiming Christ, that he too, like John the Baptist, is merely just a voice. And then it points to how you live your life, because you too are commissioned at the end of every Mass to go forth into all the world, for the Mass is ended. You too are commissioned to be that voice, that testimony of Christ to others. St. Francis of Assisi is very famous for being associated with the saying, preach the gospel always, and every now and then, say something. I'm paraphrasing it a lot and probably butchering it for some people, but the message is simple. The message of the word is what gives the voice purpose. There is nothing that we can understand if there is no utterance that's given by God. Many people look to the baptism in the Holy Spirit as something where they are given this special gift of speaking in other tongues. And there is a sense, even in Catholicism, where such a charismatic gift can be an evidence of receiving the Holy Spirit. But the purpose of that particular gift, and of really any gift that we receive of God, even salvation, even our ability to pray properly and believe and receive and everything, is to point us away from ourselves. As Christ said when he told us about being a branch on the vine, abide in me and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. You're just a voice. You're just something making sound if there's no word. We look at a baby crying in a crib. We don't understand what the baby's crying about because the baby doesn't articulate, speak plainly what it is that he needs. Do you need your diaper changed? Okay. Nope, not that. Maybe you're hungry. Nope, not that. Oh, you just need a hug from mom. Okay, that's what you needed. Nobody knows because it just sounds. Look at her dog or cat. They may bark, meow, purr, do a whole bunch of other things that try to communicate to you. But the communication is something that has to be interpreted and is not clear. It is just sounds being made. There's no purpose to the sounds. But that's the nature of communication. And when you realize that without the Word of God, you're not a light to the world. You have no light to show, no good deeds so that people can glorify your Father in heaven, as Matthew 5 in the Sermon of the Mount points to us as being lights, because Jesus Christ himself is the light of the world, as he declared in one of the other Gospels. That if we don't understand how we can truly relate that, in the same sense that John realized that he was a voice, we have no way of being able to truly experience how to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, as Paul told the Philippians, he says rejoice. How can you rejoice? How can you have this peace that is beyond understanding if you don't have yourself rooted in Christ? If you are not a voice that channels the Word that is Christ into the life of others. There's a warning that's basically put in here, and it's in the gospel. It talks about how John baptizes with water, and that there's one mightier than he that is coming. He's the one that baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then it says his winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor. A winnowing fan is a type of pitchfork. If you've ever seen like an old movie where somebody's in a barn moving hay, and they're using a pitchfork to do that. This is what's being talked about here. You can think about it also in the sense that something everybody does at some point in time is grab a broom and sweep. The dirt on the floor gets swept away by the brush. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's sweeping his floor. He's clearing his threshing floor. He's gathering the wheat into the barn. And the chaff is going into unquenchable fire. He's basically separating between the two. So he exhorts you to truly be the kind of people that can be stored up in his barn. Be a person that dwells within him as a branch on the vine. And it's a baptism of the Holy Spirit in fire. Because we asked ourselves the same question as proof that the voice passes away and the vine work remains. That St. Augustine asked, and that is, where is John's baptism? It served its purpose and went away. A lot of things in your life will serve their purpose, then go away, because God won't have need of a lot of things that you do or have done, because his purpose for you will be done, and he'll fold you up and move on to the next. And this is something we really need to have a comprehension of as we go forward. And this is where we really get prepared for God today. Is in how we live our lives today. Do we experience God in the middle way so that we can rejoice, so that we can truly have a peace that is beyond understanding, to where we truly experience this baptism in the Holy Spirit that is this fountain of salvation that we drink from within ourselves and that shows out to all the world so that God can be known through all the earth? Because we are voices like John the Baptist speaking the Word of God to others, being that thing that St. Francis of Assisi calls us to be, to preach the gospel at all times, and at times, maybe say something. Because in your world, you could say something by supporting this ministry with a $5 support by clicking on our little patron link. That's at patron.com. Podbeam.com/ D-T-E-S-H. It's found in the link that describes this particular podcast, whether on iTunes or wherever it is you listen to it, and allows you a chance to get into it. If you're on iTunes, click on the thing that says go to the homepage. When you go to the homepage, just click on the thing that says donate, and you'll be able to support us with a $5 support. In that sense, your support takes care of what's necessary and fades away, because we're able to go forward with the Word of God and present, like a voice, everything. Money is only temporary. It's like the voice of John the Baptist. It speaks to pay a bill, and it goes away. You may earn X amount of dollars in your bank account, but once you go to the grocery store and buy bread, you no longer have that X dollar amount in your bank account. Money, voice, grass, all of that is temporary. The only thing that is eternal is God. And God gives you that gift of immortality if you unite yourself with Him, and if you truly experience Him in that middle way. Because it's only then that you truly have the strength and courage that is the Lord, and really understand Him as your salvation. And hopefully, if you really grab hold of this today, that you truly understand what it is to be a voice speaking out Christ in every situation of your life, living out the commandments that God have, instead of trying to bring glory to yourself by being your own individual, you too will truly be a treasure that gives glory to God always. And I hope you truly experience this, and as a result, have a very blessed day.